Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast as Pastor Trey Kelly leads us in the series, Tweet This, Not That.
Celebrities in particular get a lot of abuse on the internet, especially on Twitter, because you have this direct connection, and some people are just inherently cruel. Some people write very harsh things to famous people without even thinking about the fact that they are people. So tonight I want to give you a chance to think about it. What you don't see when you send a nasty tweet is that it can actually cause pain. Over the last few months, we've been asking some of our celebrity guests to read some actual tweets directed at them, and here they are for your amusement and hopefully reflection.
I just saw Jessica Alba. If this was 2007, I'd be really excited.
Hank from Breaking Bad is just a fat Bruce Willis.
Dear God, give us back Tupac and we'll give you Justin Bieber.
Kelly Ripa is kind of amazing when you think about how hard it must be to balance that huge head on a tiny body.
Whenever someone tells me that I look like Andy Samberg, they're basically saying, guess how big your nose is? Very big.
Pharrell looks like a sewer rat.
Chris O'Donnell has a potato face. He does. Hashtag potato face.
I saw Larry King at dinner, but it might have been just a run-of-the-mill goblin.
2 Chainz looks like Whoopi Goldberg.
You in that Buick commercial, you know you don't fit in that Buick.
This doesn't bother me.
It's really true. We put things on social media that we would never say to people in real life. We'd never dream of saying it to their face, but because we have the protection of this screen, just type it out and send it. And here's the crazy thing about it. How many of you ever put anything on social media that you regretted? Like maybe the next day or maybe the next week or maybe the next month, but you threw it up there and you were like, shouldn't have done that. Anybody? Few brave souls who will admit it. Most of you won't. That's fine. But I have. I've posted stuff up there I've regretted. And here's what normally happens to me, right? I'll be somewhere, something will happen, and it's usually somebody wrongs me in some way, or maybe somebody wrongs you in some way. It's at a restaurant or in traffic, somebody cuts you off, or your boss does something you don't like, or something happens at school to one of your kids, and you get angry, right? And you get frustrated, and you don't know what to do about it. So what you decide to do is I'm going to go public with this thing, and I'm going to go to social media, and I'm going to drop an atomic bomb of vile and rage on the world. As your little gift. We love you, world. Here's my rage. And you drop it and you post it out there, and you know, if it's especially on Facebook, you'll get a bunch of likes, and you'll get other people saying, you go girl, and they'll, you know, even if you're a boy, they say you go girl, I don't get it. But they're like, yeah, you're right, you tell them, and all that kind of stuff. But then, you know, a week goes by or a day goes by or a month goes by, and you start to think better of it, you're like, man, what oh, why did I put that? Oh, I shouldn't have put that on there. Why'd I post that? Why'd I say that? I don't feel that way anymore. Oh, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have done that. And so you go back and you erase it. You quietly delete it, and you hope that it goes away. But the problem is it doesn't. Because, see, there's a principle about the internet and social media that many of us forget. And I kind of want to remind you today as we begin this last week of our series. And the principle is this. The internet is written in pen, not pencil. You know what that means? It means there's no deleting. Once it's out there, it's out there. And you want to say, no, you can delete it, you can get rid of it, really? Ask all the businesses that have had bad tweets go out and that they've deleted, how that worked out for them. Ask all the politicians who have had stuff literally get out on the internet and on Twitter, and they try to delete it. Forever. It's there. And see, we miss that point, and we think social media is a close friend. We think social media is somebody that we have a rapport with, and well, they'll forgive me and they can say it, but it's not. Social media is open to the world. And we think we should just be able to say whatever we want. I think of it like this. How many of you guys are on Instagram? Anybody use Instagram? I like Instagram. If you're not on Instagram, you should be. If you're on Instagram, make sure you're following Wellspring on Instagram and like all our pictures. Okay, we share some pretty cool stuff on there, so make sure you follow Wellspring. But I use Instagram. I like it a lot. And a lot of you use it. And basically, if you don't understand Instagram, all it is it's an app on your phone that you take pictures, and then you post those pictures, and people can like those pictures, and you take pictures of food or take pictures of your kids. And if you take pictures of your kids eating food, it's worth twice the points. That's the rule of the internet, folks. If you can have a cat involved, it's like triple word score. And it just works. And, you know, you post pictures, and the thing about Instagram is that it has all these settings that they call filters, right? And so you can basically take your picture, and then you can swipe through the filters, and it'll make your picture look cooler. It'll make your picture look, you know, it'll make the horizon look cooler, or it'll sharpen up the picture or whatever. I don't really understand photography, so I don't really know what it's doing, but it makes them look cooler. That's my expert opinion. It makes it look cooler. But there's something that's happened on Instagram where if you take a picture that's just perfect, right? And you don't have to have anything added to it, nothing changed, whatever. There's a hashtag that's become popular for people on Instagram when they do that. And this is the hashtag, no filter. And what that means is I didn't change this at all. This is exactly what I took, and boom, exactly as it is, it's gone up to the internet and to the world. Now, I want to help you. No filter. It's phenomenal for Instagram. It's phenomenal for pictures if you take good pictures. No filter. Is a terrible way to live your life on social media. And so what I want to do today, as we wrap up this series, is give you a few suggestions for some filters that you should apply to your life to help you manage social media. As I've said this entire series, social media is not bad. I'm not bashing social media. I love social media. We use social media. The church uses social media. In fact, at the end of this service, I'm going to encourage you to use social media more than you do already. The problem with social media is that we put it in a place in our lives it does not belong. Social media is a gift. It is a tool. It is something we use. But we elevate it to a God in our life because we give it the power to determine how we feel about ourselves and others. We let social media dictate how valuable we feel. And so all I've been trying to do this entire series is help you put social media back in its proper place. And what we've really done is we've looked at, so far, two specific issues that I think social media attacks. So first was pride. I think social media attacks our pride because we are the star of our post. It's social media. It's all about me. And then the next week we looked at envy. Because when I'm not the star and you are the star, it makes me mad and I want to be the star. And why are you the star? And why do you have more and better than I do? So it makes us jealous. And so we post things we shouldn't post. We have had a very simple four-word bottom line for this entire series. We're going to continue it today. If you want to beat pride on social media, you want to beat envy on social media, remember these four words, pause before you post. It really is that simple. Just pause before you post. And I've given you a few questions to ask. Week one, I told you to ask the question, pause before you post. Who's the star here? Who am I trying to elevate? Last week it was, pause before you post. Am I jealous right now? Am I envious right now? And today, the beginning of the filters I want to share with you, the last question I'm going to ask is something we've asked multiple times here at Wellspring, and it's this. Pause before you post and ask this question. Is this a wise thing to post? Is this a wise thing to share? Now, let's just all agree. If you pause before you post it and you ask that question, 90 to 95% of all the things you regret about putting on social media would not have gone up there, right? If you'd pause before you post and said, you know what, is this something I want to live forever? Is this something I want everybody in the world who knows me to see and to hear and to know about? If the answer had been no and you hadn't paused it, you'd have saved yourself a lot of pain and heartache. But you didn't, and I didn't, and none of us do. Because of the first 2 weeks, because of pride and envy. See, that's why we had to start with pride and envy before we got to these filters. Because I don't know about you, but the more prideful I am, the less judgment. I get paid to speak, folks. The less judgmental I am, and also, I lack judgment. I don't make good decisions when I'm acting out of pride. When pride rises, judgment falls. When envy rises, judgment falls. Think about all the bad decisions you made because you were jealous. See, so if we don't allow God to begin to change us from the inside out and then to deal with some of our pride and to begin with some of, deal with some of our envy, then this whole judgment thing doesn't really matter. It doesn't really work. But as we're dealing with our pride and as we're dealing with our envy, it opens us up to begin asking this third question. Look at today. It's like, okay, is this smart? Like, should I put this out there? Should I talk about this? And let me go ahead and say this real quick, because I've heard some talking amongst some folks about this series, and people saying, well, hey, I don't use social media, so I don't really need to listen to this series. I'm kind of checking out. Let me help you guys. Are you familiar with the idea when you have children, right, and you have to convince them to eat, and so you pretend it's an airplane, and you go, you know, and you feed them like that? Well, social media is the airplane, right, that we're talking about, but I'm really talking about pride. If you're on social media or not, you deal with pride, and God can help you fix it. If you're on social media or not, you deal with envy, and God can help you fix it. And if you're on social media or not, you say things, and you do things you wish you hadn't done. And so, yes, while social media is the platform we're talking about, these principles are universal. And so what I would encourage you, if you have checked out the last couple of weeks, don't check out today. Because what I think we're going to hear from God is there are a couple of filters we can apply to our life that, yes, on social media, it'll keep us from putting up things we regret and things we wish we hadn't said. But also in life, it'll keep you from saying things to your spouse you shouldn't have said. It'll keep you from saying things to your kids you shouldn't have said. It'll keep you from saying things to your boss you shouldn't have said. It'll keep you from saying things about your boss to your spouse in front of your kids. And the filter is really cool because it's kind of the same passage we've been looking at this entire series. We've been looking at a passage from the book of Philippians. And Philippians is a letter in our New Testament. Philippians was written by a guy named Paul. Paul wrote about half of what we consider the New Testament. Paul was an early church pastor, an early church leader. And what Paul would do is once churches were established, Paul would write them letters. They would ask him questions. He would write them letters. He would give them instructions for not only how to do church, but how to live their lives. And what we believe as Christians is that God himself was speaking through Paul when Paul wrote those letters. And so what that means is that 2,000 years later, we can read those letters from Paul, and we can know exactly what God wants us to know about how to live our life. And that's why we think the Bible has value, because we believe that God was speaking through these men to give us direct instructions for our life. And so in the book of Philippians, we've been looking at this for the last couple of weeks, Paul gives some specific instructions for how to live our life. And I think he gives us the beginning of some great filters to apply when we're dealing with social media, right? So if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians 2. If not, it's going to be up on the screen. And here's kind of how Paul starts. We've been looking at this passage for 2 weeks now. And he says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. So don't be selfish. Sounds like a good filter. That was the filter week one. Don't try to impress others. Sounds like a good filter. Some of you just have to stop social media completely if you're going to try to not impress others. And that's fine if you need to do that for a while. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. Now, just before we go any further, let's just take that one filter, thinking of others as better than yourself. Other people are better than me. That means their opinion matters more, and what they want matters more. God's going to take care of me, so I'm going to serve them. Now, let's just say, if you just apply that one filter to your social media, the next time you're on 17 and that idiot in traffic cuts you off, are you going to go on social media and complain about that idiot if you're thinking of others as better than yourself? Are you even going to call him an idiot? No. You're going to make that post about that waitress that messed up your order at the restaurant that you name in the post? Like you say the name of the restaurant? Don't do that. Are you going to bash your kid's teacher, your kid's baseball coach, if you're actually thinking of others as better than yourselves? Especially when you remember this. Look at the next line. It says, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others. Two. What does that mean, take an interest in others? Well, let's go back to traffic. You've all cut somebody off in traffic. I've cut people off in traffic. And what do? When we cut somebody off in traffic, right? We look in our rearview mirror and we go, sorry, oh, I didn't mean to do it, oh, because you didn't mean to do it. But what do we think when somebody cuts us off in traffic? They did it because they want to go to war with us. Right? You know what probably happened? Their kids are screaming at them, "Mommy, press play on the DVD so we can watch Frozen for the 1,000th time." Folks, if you get cut off by somebody in a minivan, don't get mad at them. Pray for them. They are fighting a war in the minivan. Now, if it's a two-door sports car, hate them all you want. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We love those. But what Paul means when he says, take an interest in others too, what that means is to put yourself in their shoes and extend to them the same understanding and the same benefit of the doubt you give yourself. You didn't cut that person off in traffic. You had to get over because you had to make the exit. Sorry. So what if when you're in the car behind them, they cut you off? What if you just thought, yeah, I bet they're in a hurry. Okay, it's okay. What if when the waitress messes up your order, you said, man, they must be having a busy night, poor thing. I'm going to be the one table that doesn't complain. I'm going to be the one table that makes your life better, not worse. What would happen? And then you leave a little God on tap coaster and say, come back next week. What would happen if you simply decided to take an interest in others? And this is why I say this is bigger than social media, because this works outside of social media as well. This works with your neighbors. What if you decided to filter yourself and to take an interest in others and take an interest in your neighbor and try to see it from their side and try to see it from your kids' teacher's point of view and try to see it from your kids' coach's point of view or try to see it from the referee at your kids' soccer match's point of view? Some of you just got cold when I said that. What if you tried to see it from your boss's point of view? What if you tried to see it from your coworker's point of view? What if you tried to do those things? What if you tried to see it, please don't throw anything, from a politician's point of view? What if you tried to see it? Doesn't mean they're right, but what if you tried to take an interest in others too and see it from their side? And what if that was a filter for you? Before you just went on social media and just blasted people. Or before you called your neighbor and said, you have got to hear what's going on. And then at the end you said, so pray for them so you could feel good about it. What if you did nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit? You looked not only out for your own interests, but took an interest in others too. That sounds like a pretty good filter to me. I know some of you are saying, yeah, Trey, but it's not about them, it's about me. I've got to tell the truth. I've got to be bold with the truth. This happened, and the world's got to know about it. I got to stand on truth. Are you saying not to tell the truth? You saying I should lie? Jesus said that the truth is going to set me free. And I got to be free, Trey. I got to be free to be me. It's me. I'm being me when I tell it like it is. Oh, I hate when people say I'm telling it like it is. So many other times you're lying? Well, to tell you the truth. So what were you saying before? Anyway. See, that's what we think. We think, oh, because I'm saying what we think is true, it makes it right. It's okay. Well, I'm just saying the truth on social media. Really? I want to look at one more letter from Paul. This is his letter to the church at Ephesus. Because he speaks so specifically to this issue, not just on social media, but in how we communicate in general. How we're trying to communicate truth, what really happened. I'm just trying to tell my side. I just got to get it out there. I'm not going to be walked on. Okay? Let's just see what Paul has to say. All right? I'm not saying you have to do it, but let's just see what Paul has to say, because Paul has a different suggestion. And if you have your Bibles, turn over to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 4, starting in verse 29. Here's what he says. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And I know what you're thinking. Trey, I don't cuss on social media. I can do it without cussing. I use Christian cuss words. I say darn, or I say the first letter, the last letter, and I use symbols in the middle. We all know what you meant. But that's not actually what Paul's talking about when he says unwholesome talk. You're not going to believe what Paul defines as unwholesome talk. Are you ready to hear this? Look what he says. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. That changes the game. Only what is helpful for building others up. In other words, if it's not helpful to them, don't say it. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm mad, when I'm jealous, when something's happened to me and I've been wronged and I want to get my side out, helping the other person is very low on my priority list. Maybe you're different, but it's not very high on my list, especially when you understand how Paul means we should help them, when he explains it. He says, what is helpful for building others up, look at this, according to their needs. What that means? It means you have to know them. It means you have to know them so well, you know what's going on in their life. You know their struggles. You know their hurts. You know the things they don't tell anybody else. And you know exactly the words they need to hear to encourage them and build them up and spur them on to a better life in Christ. That is the standard. And if you're not meeting that standard, it is unwholesome talk. That changes the game. You know why? You don't know the person who cut you off in traffic. So how on earth could you know their needs? You don't know Barack Obama. So how on earth could you know his needs? You don't know Nikki Haley. So how on earth could you know her needs? See, both sides. You don't know them. You don't know the waitress. You don't know your kids' teachers well. You don't know their principal well. You don't know these people. Therefore, there is nothing you can say publicly that will be helpful for building them up according to their needs. You know what that means? Don't say anything. That's what Paul's saying. And this applies past social media. Because if we do, if we're saying things that aren't specifically customized to their needs and aren't specifically aimed at being helpful for building them up, then it is unwholesome talk, which means it's not honoring to God. It means it's not what he wants for your life. Another word for that, everybody's favorite word at Wellspring, it's a sin. And it breaks the heart of God. That kind of changes your thought process, doesn't it? The next time you want to take to social media and complain about that person you don't know and how they hurt you. Paul says, don't do that. Don't do that. And some of you are thinking, well, what about people I do know? Can I make negative posts about them? Can I bash them? You were thinking it. I'll just ask you this question. Has anyone ever posted anything negative about you on social media? And the answer for most of us is yes, they have. Was it helpful to you? Did it build you up according to your needs? Did you call them later and say, I just want to thank you so much for going public with my problem and putting it on Facebook because that changed my life. It just set me free. It was so valuable and so helpful. Oh, thank you. No. So don't do that either. What am I really saying? Just don't make negative posts on social media, period. Just don't do it. And some of you are like, well, then what would I post? I have a suggestion later. But just don't do it. Because Paul says not to. He says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. That also means out of your fingers. See, so many of us miss this. Social media is an extension of our mouth. It is who we are. We think we have this protection because we're behind a screen. That's not true. You'll notice You know, all my staff, me, we're all on social media. Not a one of us has the disclaimer you see where it says, these views are mine alone and do not represent the views of Wellspring Church. Of course they do. We work here. We are Wellspring Church. You are Wellspring Church. Of course our views represent the views of Wellspring Church. That's a cop-out to say anything less. And if you're a Christ follower, you tell people what you're saying is, these are the views of my God in heaven. You can't separate the two. They are the same. Do not let any awesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. According to their needs. Now you may wonder, okay, why does this matter so much? Right? If I'm posting about the governor, if I'm posting about the president, if I'm posting about the mayor, if I'm posting about this guy in traffic, if I'm posting about my kid's teacher, if I've been posting about my neighbor, they're never going to see this. What does it matter to them? What does it affect them? I'm just blowing off some steam. I'm just getting it off my chest, man. I'm just freeing myself up, man. I got to be able to talk. I can't filter myself. Come on. That's what Paul says. He says, you do these things that it may benefit those who listen. You're right. The teacher's not listening. The stranger's not listening. The politicians aren't listening. But you know who is? Your children are listening. Your spouse is listening. That neighbor across the street you've been inviting to church for 6 months, they're listening. That coworker who doesn't believe in God at all, and you are the only Jesus in his life, he's listening. And here's what you're teaching them. I live my life with no filter because I am more important than everybody else. And when I am wronged, when I am hurt, when things do not go my way, I do not run to the creator of the universe, to the God I'm trying to desperately convince you to follow for my comfort. I run to the God of social media because it makes me feel better. Now, is that what you mean to say? Absolutely not. Is that what you believe? Absolutely not. But it's what happens. See, we don't do this because of the people we're talking about. We're doing this because of the people we have influence over. And the message we're telling them is God is good, but the God of social media is great. The God of social media fills my cup every time. When I'm feeling sorry for myself, I'm not going to pray about it. I'm going to put it on Facebook. Because people will come, and they will like it. And they will write, oh, we love you so much, you're just the best. And we feel better. But then it goes away. And we have to do it again. And again. And again. So our Facebook posts are filled, I did this a year ago, with complaint. And with accusation. And with, oh, I hate this person, and I hate that person, and this teacher's stupid, and I can't believe the president did that. Oh, by the way, come to my church, because God loves you and can heal your life. God is the answer to every problem we have. Why won't the president stop saluting with a cup in his hand? Ah! Ah! Either we have the source of all hope and life in the universe, or we don't. I think we do. Let's just live like it. Stop going to the God of social media to meet the needs it can't meet anyway. Now, am I saying don't ever post at all? No, of course not. Am I saying if something goes bad in your life, not to share it with the world? Of course I'm not saying that. But I am saying, use a filter. I am saying to embrace the four words we've talked about this entire series. Pause before you post. Just pause before you post. And ask the questions we've been talking about this whole series. One, hey, who's the star of this post? Am I trying to elevate myself or am I trying to elevate God and others? And elevate God and others instead. Pause before you post. Am I posting right now because I'm envious, because I'm jealous, because I want somebody to give me what I need? Is that why I'm doing this right now? Okay, then I shouldn't do that. And then this one, today, about wisdom, ask this question. Pause before you post. Is this something I want written in ink? Is this something I want my children to read? Is this something I want my parents to read? Is this something I want my spouse to read? Is this something I want my boss to read? Is this something I want my future boss to read? Is this something I want my future spouse to read? Pause before you post. And instead of taking that hurt and that struggle to the God of social media that can never, ever, ever satisfy you, come back next week and hear about a God on tap. Hear about a God that has love and healing and satisfaction and forgiveness in unlimited supply. Just ready to pour it out on your life. All you have to do is take it. We filter our messages on social media not for the targets of the criticism, but for the audience of our posts. And those are the people you care about the most and that you have the most influence over. What are you teaching them? Who are you teaching them to run to when things go wrong? I know I want my kids running to Jesus. And so I've got to model that for them. And so do you. So pause before you post. As we wrap up, I did want to give you just a few very helpful hints, just a few tips on social media. I'm calling these healthy habits for social media. And the first one we've been talking about for 3 weeks, it's pause before you post. I'm just telling you, folks, if you can embrace this in your life, if you can just embrace this concept of pausing 1 second before you just blast it out into the world, just pause and say, all right, God, is this pleasing to you? Is this what you want? And actually listening. It'll change the game. Number two, I encourage you to identify your trigger points. Here's what I mean by that. Are there people on social media that drive you crazy? They post about things and you hate it, or they brag all the time, or they're of the different political party than you and they make you angry, or they have all the nice stuff, and every time you see their post, it just fills you up with anger and rage. You don't know what to do, right? We've all got those people. Let me set you free today, okay? Go home. Go on your social media platform. Find the button that says unfollow or unfriend or whatever, and click it. And let yourself be set free. Let them go, man. Stop it. I do it all the time. I will confess. I do it all the time. I do. If somebody, man, if I find myself consistently reading people's posts and just getting frustrated with it, and I can't stand it. I'll unfriend them. Doesn't mean I don't love them. It just means I can't see their stuff on social media because it drives me insane. There's nothing wrong with it. I'll make a confession to make you feel better. All right, this one isn't even funny. It's 100% true. There are certain pastors and church leaders on social media that I have had to unfollow because I'm human, and when I see them and when I hear what they're doing and I hear what God's doing through them, sometimes I get jealous. And I get worried that I'm not good enough and that I'm not doing more. And if I were better, if I worked harder, if I did this instead of that, then God would be blessing me like he's blessing them. And it really puts me in a bad place and I get in a funk. So you know what? I just unfollowed them. And if that makes me weak, that's okay because I'm weak. I'm okay with that. But I unfollowed them because my Bible tells me to flee from temptation. And every time I saw them, I was tempted to be envious. Now, do I hope one day God heals me enough where I can go back and follow them? Absolutely, but I'm not there yet. I can't do it. So I don't follow them. And I'm a lot happier because of it. My Sunday afternoons used to be miserable. God would change lives here. It'd be amazing. I'd go home. I'd see somebody tweet about how many they had on a Sunday morning. That was it. I was done. Felt sorry for myself for the rest of the day. And I know what you're thinking. Man, you're a normal dude. Exactly. I am. I'm not. I've said that 1,000 times. If I ever convince you I'm better than you, I've lost. I'm just a dude just like you trying to follow God. That's it. And you can do the same thing. So identify the people that set you off on social media and set them free. And if they try to refriend you, because they probably will, view it as a 7-day trial period. Say yes. 7 days later, be like, you failed, gone. That's it. They won't know. You don't know who your friends are. You don't know who's following you on Twitter. You don't know. And now, don't go looking at my Twitter to see which pastors I don't follow to try to figure out. Some of you will. I know you will, but it's okay. But identify your trigger points. And then last one. Use social media as a platform to elevate what matters. So I think social media is great. I'm going to challenge you to post more, not less. Just use it to elevate what matters. I don't know about you, but I think what we do here on a Sunday morning matters. My hope is if you attend Wellspring regularly, I hope this is one of the best, most impactful, most life-changing hours of your week. So talk about it. You notice, beginning with this series, we set up the thing outside. We called it a selfie station, right? You know why? Because we wanted you to tell your friends that you were at church. We did. Because again, if it's an important, if it's important to you, if it's one of the most important hours of your week, if your faith is one of the most important things in your life, that should be reflected on social media. So tell the world about it. Some of you know this. We have free Wi-Fi in this auditorium. And that's not for you to set your fantasy line up, right? That's not, I look down and I see a glow on somebody's face, and that is the glow of someone not paying attention. I'm kidding. But the reason, honestly, we strategically added Wi-Fi to make sure we had enough Wi-Fi in here because our hope is, as we're singing songs, you'll be moved to share a picture of a song, to share the lyrics that are changing your heart. That as I'm speaking, or some of the other guys who come in and teach, that if there's a point that is particularly impactful to you, that you will share that and you will tweet that out. Nothing will make me happier than for this to be the most heavily trafficked social media hub every Sunday morning. I would love that. You kidding me? Fill social media with God and what He's doing and with the stories of how He's changing your life and the truth He's teaching you? Come on, man. That's fantastic. Let me tweet that out during the week, and that's to give you an opportunity to share with your friends. Hey, man, this is what's going on in our church. We're loving it. It's changing my life. It becomes a lot easier to stop doing the negative posts if you're filling it with positive stuff and you're filling it with what God's doing in your life. On a Tuesday morning, you read your Bible, God tells you something, share that. Use social media as a platform to elevate what matters. That's what it is. It is the greatest gift we've been given to communicate a message to a world that desperately needs it. So use it. Use social media for what it is, a tool that God can and will use to change the world. If you let Him. Are there going to be struggles? Absolutely. Are you still going to struggle with pride? Still going to struggle with envy? You're still going to sometimes make unwise things? Yes, I believe so. But those will drastically be reduced if you leave here today and simply apply the four words we've talked about the entire series. If you simply pause before you post. Pause to allow the God of the universe to speak. I promise you that platform you've been given will become more God-honoring, will become more life-giving, and not only will it change you, not only will it change your perspective and change your life, God will use it to change the lives of those around you. Just pause before you post. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. We just thank you that you are so clear and so kind and so patient and so forgiving. We thank you for this amazing gift we have to communicate with the world what is going on with our life. Father, may we see it as the gift that it is, and may we use it to glorify you, the only God that is worthy of praise and the only God that can actually change our life. Give us wisdom, give us clarity as you go about this week, Father. May we take an interest in others. May we ask for wisdom. May we remember that the internet is written in pen, Father. And may we take advantage of this tool to honor you and transform the planet. See you in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.